Good morning, everybody. This is Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. Today, I'm here with my guest, author Simone Wright. She's an entrepreneur since the age of 9. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dane. Thank you for having me today.
When I read your bio on there, I was interested in that part. That part caught me, the entrepreneur since age of 9. I said, wow, this lady has a drive, huh?
Yeah, a bit of ambition.
Yeah. How did it all start? How did all this happen?
Well, I was raised by a single mom. My father passed away when I was 7 years old. So, you know, I was raised by a single mom. I had a younger brother and I watched her, work several jobs, and she had to put food on the table. So I was always, you know, children learn by watching, not yes. So much by what we're told. And I just noticed how resilient she was, how determined she was, how focused she was, how she sat at the dining room table. She had a day job, but then she would do moonlighting in the evening and she would sit at the dining room table and type and do secretarial and executive work for people. And I just thought, well, that's something I'd really like to do. And obviously I wasn't a typist, I was an artist. And so I would sit at the dining room table with her and I would create. And then she said, well, maybe you should try to sell those things. They were little styrofoam caterpillars. They weren't anything monumental by any stretch of the imagination. And I said, okay. So I just would go door to door in my neighborhood and I priced them at $2 a pop and would knock on the doors in my neighborhood and convince my neighbors that they needed these styrofoam caterpillars. And that's how I started. And wow. Now many years later, I'm a globally collected award-winning artist. So it has to start somewhere.
Isn't that awesome? You know, I was also raised by a single mother. My childhood was not so great, but I started selling candy when I was a kid at school. I don't remember the price of it. Me and my wife were talking about it the other day. I was thinking about it. It's kind of funny, but single mother, it's tough, and that's yep. something that we don't pay attention to enough in the world today. And there's even more single mothers or grandparents raising the kids. And so the intuitive thing, how did you realize you had a gift for it?
Well, I've always had it. And listen, as children, we all have it. As children, we're wired intuitively. And the reason children are naturally intuitive is because children aren't thinking beings. They're feeling and sensing beings because they don't have the mental capacity to process information yet. So their body is sensing things, is feeling things. They are watching. So as children, we are all intuitive. I'm not special in that capacity.
Right.
So this is why it's important, if you do have children, to be very conscious of the fact that they are sensing and feeling. They're not thinking. But as a young kid, I had some pretty profound experiences. On the night my father did pass away, I had what some people might call a visitation. He showed up at the foot of my bed the night he died. He was in the hospital at the time, and he said goodbye.
Wow.
And I remember it. And he said, darlings, Simone, I'm sorry to go. Be a good girl for your mom. I have to go, but if you ever need me, I'm here. And I would have sort of visitations from my dad when I was growing up. And, wow. the joke when I was little was that our house was haunted. My dad was always there. And so my friends, especially boyfriends, would come over, because my dad, when I was alive, would jokingly say to me, Simone, darling, when you bring your boys home, I'm going to be sitting in the living room conveniently cleaning my shotgun. And, that was the joke. And so when my dad passed away and then I would bring boyfriends home, I said, just so but I always had this sort of extra spidey sense, if you will. And it served my creativity. It served my capacity to connect with people, but I didn't understand it as a kid, and most children don't. And so I shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about the ghost in the house or whatever, I dated a girl years ago in Tucson, Arizona, and we were taking a picture at Christmas time, and after we got the picture developed, you could clearly see her grandfather's face in a mirror standing there. And I always felt I had a sense that someone was watching me there. And that's what made me think about that. You're talking about your dad watching over them boys. And it was very profound. You could see his face clear as day. And he had been passed away, I think, like 5 years at this time. And some people don't believe in all them things. I know I believe in it. I know it's real. And
yeah, I don't believe in it either. I know it.
There you go. Yeah, me too. I do too. And the intuition, my intuition is out of this world. I live by it. I always have. Even when I was living wrong, it kept me alive a lot of times without a doubt. And
for sure.
I use it today and I go with it. My first thing is dead on most times, more times than not. And we were just talking about, because I was talking to my wife about what me and you, what our podcast is about. And I said, you know, intuition thing, sometimes we don't want it to be right because we want to believe the best in people and see the best in people. But intuition's usually always right. Mine's always right.
Yep. And especially if you've had a challenging childhood, because, you know, I had trauma in my life growing up. I had abuse and sexual abuse and that sort of stuff. And you said something really important. You said your intuition has kept you alive even when you weren't doing right.
Yeah.
And so if you've had a sort of a trauma childhood, your intuition will come online as a survival skill. Mm-hmm. It helps you scan the environment for threat. And that's what intuition at its most basic level is. It's a survival tool. It keeps the vehicle alive. And, you know, we've got 100 trillion intuitive cells in our body, and they're constantly scanning the environment. They're scanning the environment within the body. They're scanning the environment outside of the body to be sure that the environment is safe. So at its most fundamental, intuition is a survival skill. But at its most evolved, as you start to recognize that it is an intelligence, what I call our first intelligence, which is what my book is called, is that it serves our evolution. It serves innovation. It serves creativity. It serves all of these high level intelligent factors. So you're spot on that you've had it, and it will serve you whether you're doing good stuff or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, because it wants to keep the vehicle alive at its most fundamental.
I'm thankful for it. And I see a lot of people who they have it, they just don't use it. They don't know how to get into it. And it's like when it's a hard thing to explain to someone who doesn't have it, but I guess apparently that's what your book does, maybe.
Yes. Yes. And again, everybody has it. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in our biology. It's rooted in, and that's why I call it science and spirit of intuition, because most people tend to think that the intuition is something that some people have and some people don't. That's an error. Some people will tend to think that women have it more than men. That's not accurate either. People will tend to think it's rooted in emotion. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions about the intuitive process, is they think it's emotional. And so they don't trust it. But if you've ever had an intuitive hit, and that's why we call them hits, they're not intuitive fluffies. They're not intuitive rainbow dust. They're intuitive hits. It's like the GPS in your car. It's neutral. Mm. It's just yes, no, good, bad, correct, not correct. And it just, it's neutral. And the reason that it's neutral is it's coming from a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of awareness that is beyond emotion.
Right.
Where the emotion comes from is through our response to the intuitive information.
Okay.
Right. Like you said earlier, you might not like what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
But the information is accurate.
Yeah, it's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do it a lot of times. We work in addiction. And what's the word I want to use there? People are full of it a lot of times. We'll just say that. And I'm dead on. I can call it the moment I meet you, I can tell. And that doesn't mean that you won't get it eventually.
Yep.
But I can just tell. And Beth said a long time ago, she said, it's amazing how you do that. And it's just like, you can do it too. You know, it's just one of them things. And it's for me, it's a spiritual thing kind of also.
Major
I'm a spiritual guy. I always have been. I wasn't wasn't taught about God or anything when I was a kid, but I just always had something there. And I'm thankful for it. It is so mean, you know, people say the gut, you know, don't, the gut never lies. And that's a fact. It doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is an integration of, so, you know, we show up and we live in these biological, I call them skin suits. Mm-hmm. We show up in these biological skin suits. So that's the physical aspect of us. That's the science aspect of us. But then there's the spirit aspect of us. There is this divine aspect. And if you believe in a higher source, or, you know, some people call it God, some people call it the universe, some people call it your higher being, whatever it is, there is an intelligence in the field that is supporting life, right?
Yes.
You can digest your food without having to think about it. Something is doing that for you.
Yes. Right? Without
something is grow, right? Something is growing your hair. Or, yes. You know, in your well, case, your fingernails, I mean, you right?
Yeah.
So there is a spiritual element to it. And the intuitive voice, in my concept, is the voice of your soul. It's the voice of your higher self. It's the voice of your divine nature that is wanting to support you at, not only at your most basic and your most fundamental, but at your most evolved. And so it's nice to have a balance of the science and the spirit of it. And to go back to your comment about coming out of the world of addiction, oftentimes addiction is rooted in trauma, you know,
just without a doubt.
Capacity, mm-hmm. capacity, you need a capacity to cope. Mm-hmm. And so the irony of people who are addicted is they have this profound intuition because they're often coming from a trauma background. Mm-hmm. But because they can't conceptualize it, they don't quite understand it, they'll numb it even more. And their intuition is actually one of the most potent keys to getting them well.
Yes.
Right. So it becomes, and having a resource, an advocate like you, who people are helping others come out of that, with your intuitive skill set, part of how you can serve your community is by helping them recognize that intuitive voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also what's super, super important to recognize is when you've heard your intuition speak to you and you've ignored it, oftentimes there's a consequence to that.
Right.
You pay a price.
Yeah. Yeah. Without,
sorry.
Yeah.
You pay a price.
Yeah.
So failing to follow your intuition is actually a really potent learning tool, because it's like, oh, I'm going to touch the stove. Oh, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing your intuition and not following it is a really good way to start to develop it.
Right.
Because then when you do start to listen to it and you follow it, you're like, oh, look at how these two things balanced out.
Yeah.
So the fact that you already know you're intuitively wired and you're supporting people in the addiction environment, one of your superpowers will be helping them tap into their intuition. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. I lived as an addict for a long time. Stems from an accident as a child I had. I was hit by a truck walking home from school. My intuition didn't stop me from stepping out in front of that. But he actually swerved over and hit me. But and I got prescribed pain pills. And my mother was an alcoholic drug addict too. And the dad was alcoholic. So it was just all around me. But I always felt I wasn't one of them. I didn't think I was better than anybody. Not that kind of a feeling, but I always felt I was different. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't think the same way people thought, you know, mm-hmm. like even when I was in prison, I didn't think the way the people in there thought. You know, I'd done drug mm-hmm. addict crimes and went in. I deserve to be punished. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm getting at is, like, I just knew there was something more for me in life, and I just had mm-hmm. I had to find a way out of it. And spiritually is what did it. And today,
it's the only way out.
You can do, listen, you can take any program, you can take any medication. If you, my higher power is God. And if you don't put God first in it, it's not going to work. It's just not. You may put a Band-Aid on it for a little while, but that Band-Aid is going to come off. And I tried. I know this out of failure for myself. I tried. I tried every other thing in the world besides really getting right and leaning mm-hmm. on God for it, and failed mm-hmm. miserably time and time again. But today, you know, life is good. Yeah, no complaints. Took a long time to get here. Yeah, it took a long time to get here. Yeah. That's all right. You know, it's part of the story, and that's, you know, that's the things when you said that about that's my superpower, you made me really think then, because people have always listened to me, I'll say, mm-hmm. whether it was good or bad. And mm-hmm. A lot of times it was bad, but now it's for good. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe people see that, you know, how intuitive I am and these different things and wise I am to what's going to happen down the road if you don't do this or if you do this. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is my superpower.
Well, and everything that we've walked in our world, in our life, you know, again, my death of a father at a very young age and lots of trauma and all that other stuff. So, and in your case too, all of that stuff sets us up to be in service, because you would not be able, and I can't help people, and, you know, I got a long list of trauma in my world. I'm like, check that off, check that off, check that off, check that off. If we hadn't, I call that mapping. If we hadn't mapped that stuff and been able to get to the other side of that from a position of wholeness, then we can't be of service to people.
Right.
Because nobody's going to come to us if we've had a rosy, peachy, awesome, you know, everything's been awesome life, because they're going to be like, you have no idea what I've been through. Mm-hmm. But then we can go truly from a place of compassion. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah.
And you can find your way through it too. And that, that idea of, you know, partnering with source energy or partnering with God, when we start to develop our intuition, that communication between source, God, higher self, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. I always say, call it Frank if you want to. It doesn't care what you call it, right?
Yeah.
But when you start to develop your intuition, then that line of communication becomes very, very clear. Mm. And you're able to tune out not only what the outer world, the 3D, and maybe some of the maybe not so noble people are telling you to do.
Yeah.
You can tune that out. And you can also tune out your lower voice, your own lesser animals, right? You know, mm-hmm. I always like to jokingly say, if I'm hearing some doubt in my head, you know, what Jesus would say, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, I'm not listening to you. No, it is not happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so then that intuitive voice, the voice of your soul, the voice of your higher self, and be very mindful as well that it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet, and it doesn't shame you, and it doesn't wag its finger at you, and it doesn't say, if you don't do this, I'm going to punish you. It's very soft. And so learning how to, when we're building our intuition, we need to build it on the foundation of peace. And peace, in the scientific word for peace is coherence. And what that is it's an ordered heart rhythm. It's an ordered, and when you have an ordered heart rhythm, that will order your brain, because the heart is the strongest organ electromagnetically in the body. It will start to order the brain. It will start to harmonize all the cells in the body so that then you can listen.
Right.
Right. Because if you're stressed out, if you're fearful, if you're coming from PTSD trauma, it's like there's so much static on the line, like a radio receiver.
Yeah.
There's so much static. You can't hear.
Yeah.
And so I bet you going to prison for you was probably a really great place for you to get still.
Without a doubt. That's where I truly found myself. I mean, I educated myself. I went in there with a seventh grade education. It wasn't that I couldn't learn. I wouldn't mm-hmm. go to school and these kind of things. I was a difficult kid. I was a mess. And what I found out was that I was somewhat intelligent. And then that started on me a track of looking deep at myself and finding out what strengths I had and all these different things. And come to find out, not just physically strength, I have a lot of strength inside of me. And it was all these different things were stepping stones into me becoming whole, mm-hmm. without a doubt. Do I wish I wouldn't have went to prison? Of course, but in another, on the other hand, kind of glad I did in a sense, because it taught me who I am. You know, I didn't think I had any gifts in the world. I thought I was just one of these people who, man, I couldn't write. I couldn't draw. I couldn't do any of these things, but I found out my gifts were other places.
And yes.
I just had to get them all together. And that's what I did. I spent 9 years in solitary confinement. So, yeah, that's
like John the Baptist.
Yeah. It's like being locked in your bathroom for 9 years. And it was, I saw a lot of people lose their mind and different things like that. And I refused. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm going to fight. And I did. And here we are today. And it's all part of the story. And, you know, I saw a guy told me the other day, he said, Dane, you know, it doesn't make any sense that we see on the internet, we see these kids, 19 years old, talking about they're a life coach. How can a 19-year-old kid be a life coach? He's like, that's what you need to be doing as a life coach. And I was like, well, you know, maybe one day we may get into that, but but who knows? But I can definitely tell you, you know, how to find your strengths on the inside of you. That's for sure.
And again, it is kind of funny, a 19-year-old life coach. Like, what are you going to teach me, darling? You haven't even started yet.
Not even have a clue. No clue.
But so, you know, that our life sets us up. Our life sets us up to be in service in those kind of ways. And what's also fascinating, too, about profoundly intuitive children is that they don't do well in school. I was labeled a difficult learner. I was labeled unengaged and uninterested. And part of it was because I knew more than what the teachers were teaching me. So I was like, why am I going to listen to you? Yeah. And then I would get in trouble because I was so intuitive and so creative that I would get homework assignments and I would just intuitively do the homework and then I'd hand it in. And then I would get accused of plagiarism or stealing stuff from the encyclopedia. Yeah. And get pulled into the principal's office. And it's like, well, my kid couldn't have stolen this from the encyclopedia because we don't have them, you know, you know, so school for intuitive children is difficult. They are often labeled. They're often told they are unintelligent because their intelligent system is working in a different way.
Right, right.
That most teachers aren't educated in. And so school for intuitive children is hard. I hated school.
Oh, me too. I could not stand it. I just, I was a mess. I don't, and looking back on all that, I really don't know why. I think I was attention seeking in a lot of it maybe, but now it's the intuitive thing. Cause I was the same way. Like I can do it. That makes my wife mad now because she's working on a degree in addiction counseling, a master's degree. She's just about to get it. But like I could just skim over something, but I, you know, you can just tell me about it. I'll skim over and I got it. Mm-hmm. She's like, I've got to study for days and do all this. And I was just like, I learned different. I just learned different in a different way.
Yes.
So I definitely understand what you're saying for sure.
And that's an important distinction too. Our intuition will speak to us via the path of least resistance. So I'm a visual learner. I watch. And if somebody shows me how to do something once, I can pretty much do it.
Yep.
And I'm an artist. So everything I do is visual. So I'm a visual learner. Some people learn by listening. Some people learn by reading. Some people learn by doing. Some people learn by hearing it. So in my case, I'm a visual learner. So my intuitive superpower is I see pictures. When I'm working with law enforcement to find missing children or working on cold case files, and I give myself the target, I find the kid I see pictures, and then I'm able to tell the police officers what I see, give them the information, and they go follow that, and that's how they find the kid. So if you have a particular learning style, then that will tend to be your intuitive path of least resistance. Now, as you build the muscle, you know, yes, I see things, but I also hear things and feel things and know things. But you'll tend to have one as you're developing it that is stronger than the others at first. And it's usually based in how you learn.
Okay.
Right. So what is yours? Is yours more feeling? Is yours more knowing?
Feeling. But I can also watch someone do something and do it. Not painting or drawing. I've never really tried, just to be honest about it. I've never tried to draw. It just kind of doesn't pull my interest, I guess I would say. Now, I love I think it's amazing what people can do as far as art. I love looking at it, you know, after someone mm-hmm. else has done it. But mine is a feeling. I definitely have a mm-hmm. feeling in watching. I would say those two without a doubt. My feelings are pretty dead on more times than not. And it can just be, I don't even have to meet the person. Mm-hmm. Someone can just tell me, you know, such and such this, and my immediate reaction is right. And again, mm-hmm. sometimes it causes some resistance because everybody, oh no, it's not that way. But then it's always the same thing. Man, you sure was right. I know.
Yeah.
You know, I know I was right. It's not one of those, not that I just choose not to like a certain someone or something for what they're doing, or that mm-hmm. I just want to say people are full of crap. I know what I'm talking about, man. I feel mm-hmm. it. And we have a case here, I live in Tennessee, and we have a case here now as a child. He's 15 years old. He's been missing for a couple of months now. And my intuition on that is I hope it's not right, but it's going to end mm-hmm. up being, you know, the parents, the stepfather and stuff. And it's a sad thing, but I never thought about working with law enforcement because I was on the other side. But
That's kind of interesting because you've been on the other side. You might be a really good service to the law enforcement. But you know, I did work with law enforcement for a while, and I did because a friend of mine who knew of my skill set had been a cop for 25 years, and I had come through town to teach an intuition class, and he called me out of the blue on the phone, and he said, you know, we're working on this thing. If you got a few minutes, can I take you to a scene? And I said, okay. And instantly I knew, before I even hung up the phone, I knew what had happened. And so he dropped me off. I didn't give me any information. He just sort of slowed the car down and pushed me out and said, I'll be back in 15 minutes to pick you up.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, I again, it played like a movie in my head. And so I could tell him, you know, three shooters, three victims. This is how they entered. These were the guns I saw. This was the order, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you've got like 95% of it because you've even got the hold back, which obviously is what only the cops and the people involved in the case would know. And I said, well, I'm just doing what I do. And he said, well, would you want to do this for us full time? And I said, hell no. No. Yeah, I said, but what if I could teach you guys how to do what I do? And he's like, you can teach this? And I'm like, yeah, because it's everybody's got it. It's a language. It's inherent in our biology. And so he said, well, if you think you can do that, let's run it by. And so I put a proposal together. But what I had to do in that moment is I had to reverse engineer the process.
Okay.
I had to go, okay, what am I doing? What's happening? What's going on? Because when I was a kid and it was natural, it was just natural. I wasn't thinking about it. But now you can't go into a room full of 22 police detectives and say, it's just natural, and wave some crystals around and be like, om, chanty, chanty. You've got to be able to root it in some science, right?
Right.
So I reverse engineered it. I said, okay, what's going on with me energetically? And again, that's where that peace things. I have to be so neutral, even when you're looking for a missing kid or you're working on a triple homicide, which is what that scene was that he brought me in on. Mm-hmm. You have to be very neutral. You have to have that foundation of peace. So I had to know what's going on energetically, what's going on biologically in my body. Where am I directing my mind? What questions am I asking? What targets am I setting? And I just really, and then how is the information coming? How am I interpreting it? How am I feeling it? Is it coming all at once? Is it coming in little bits? And so as I started to ask those questions, this wonderful, delicious description of what intuition is in its completeness started to show up. And so that's when I went back to the police department 9 months later to teach it.
Wow.
I taught it the scientific way. But here's the irony. My intuition taught me how to teach intuition.
How about that?
Right?
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It wasn't intellectual. It wasn't. I wasn't going, I'm going to read up on books and look at what other people are doing and look at the data. Because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
There was nobody talking about intuition in this way before. And so when I went in, and the first question I asked with the cops, because some of them were skeptical.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Asked, you know, they're all kind of like, who is this chippy and what is she going to teach us? You know?
Yeah.
And I said, how many of you guys and gals have ever been out on the street and you've just known something wasn't right, or that somebody was lying to you, or that there was more information that you needed? And every hand in the room went up. I'm like, okay, so we're all in agreement that this exists. I'm just here to teach you how to do it, to amplify it, to direct it, to do it at will, and to be able to apply it to every area of your life. And so I taught that. I wrote the book, started to teach others. And then the sort of the final straw was a police department called me one day and said, Simone, we found a leg. Can you help us find the rest of the body? And I'm like, okay, guys,
yeah,
I'm done. Time out. No. Mm. And there are other people with intuitive skills who would love that stuff. But so I said, let's go teach entrepreneurs how to do this. Let's go help other people do this. And so that's where I'm at now.
That's an amazing story. Do you read people? Like, do you?
No. I mean, I used to because I could.
Yeah.
But no.
Like, what I mean by that is like body language and these kind of things. Like,
oh, that, like, for sure.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Not like reading them. Yeah. I should have said that wrong, but I do too. And that's kind of a thing that for me also, I've always done that as well. And I'm pretty spot on with that too.
Yeah. And energetically, when we understand that there are no private thoughts, right? Every thought is measured in the field. It's all available. Mm-hmm. And again, especially if you've come from an environment that's rooted in some sort of trauma, you're heightened. Mm-hmm. You're heightened at reading people, if that's so because I had abusers in my life, I always knew 20 minutes before they were coming over.
Oh my god,
I gotta go. You know, suddenly something would, Mom, I'm leaving. Jojo and I are going to go play or something. I would find a way to get out of the house before that person would show up. Right. So the information is in the field. And this is what they notice too about animals, that if you have dogs or cats, they know 20 minutes before you're coming home. They're sitting in front of the window waiting for you.
Without a doubt. Yep.
Right. How do they know that? Mm-hmm. They've picked up in the field. Dad has the idea, I'm coming home. And your dog picks up, oh, Dad's coming home. And he goes and sits in front of the window and waits for Dad to come home.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're picking up information in the field. And so animals are profoundly wired that way. And then if you remember the tsunami in Indonesia, I think it was in 2004, the big tidal wave that killed a quarter of a million people died. But ironically, virtually no animals died in that, because they felt that, not only did they feel the earthquake that triggered the tsunami, but they felt the pressure wave of the big wave that was coming, and they moved to higher ground. Elephants that were carrying tourists in Indonesia broke their chains and walked to higher ground with people on their backs because they could sense the wave coming.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's scientific data on this. And so the animals felt the information in the environment. And because they don't have a monkey chatty mind, blah, 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 don't do it. They just listened to it and went.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there were countless stories of people on September 11th who intuitively got a nudge to say, I'm not going into work today. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I've heard those stories. It's kind of been a topic of conversation in my life lately. I got a buddy he's kind of one of the conspiracy theories guys, whether he's right or wrong, but we were talking about 9/11. I had to get a break from him sometimes, but but he's kind of right on some of that stuff. But okay, tell us how we can find your book and all them kind of things, what you got going on now and how people can find you.
Well, first of all, Dane, thanks for having me.
And oh, it's been a pleasure. It's been
a pleasure. Do please continue to use your superpower to surf because
when you got it, you got to
use it.
Yes, ma'am.
You can find me at my website. It's simonewright.com. It's SimoneWright.com. I always like to say to people to pick up a copy of my book, First Intelligence.
Yeah.
It's so many of the compliments that I get from it, and we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of it, is that it's the best book on intuition out there. And so I'm going to toot my horn just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to go really get me a copy. And then I'll plug it more after I read it and let everybody else know how good it is.
Yeah. But you can get that on Amazon. And then if you ever want to, you know, work with me one-on-one, whether you're working on intuition stuff or whether you're working on entrepreneurial stuff, I do a lot of one-on-one coaching and I work with companies and individuals and things like that. I don't like telling people what to do. I like training them to so that they can learn to listen to what they tell themselves to do from that higher position. That's how I like to help people. You know, what is it the saying? Give a man a fish or teach a man to fish?
Teach a man to fish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my mission, is to be able to teach people in life how to listen to this higher intelligence, this first intelligence, this true wisdom, especially now, because there's so much data and conflicting information out there and so much noise. It's actually triggering our intuitive capacity again as a survival skill. Is if humanity is going to survive this intuition super wave, we've got to be able to use our intuition to do it.
Without a doubt, it is so important today. I love that you said that, and more and more people need to be aware. So again, hence we need to read your book more and more of us. Because as you said, everyone has it. They just got to figure out how to use it and understand it. And people have been using it for a long time and don't even realize, like you said, when you asked the police officers and they all raised their hand. So thank you for your work in that too, for helping find the children, those kind of things. I'm big on that. And I want to say one last thing about, I don't think that I've had a woman on my show yet who didn't say she was abused as a child. And that is a sad thing. And we need to do better. I don't understand that. I'll never understand it. It's a sad thing. Why do we let these things go on with our children? Why do we not see the signs or all these things? And my heart goes out to you, as it does to everyone who had to go through that.
Well, it gave me, here's the thing of it. I know that the trauma that I experienced in my life gave me this superpower. I know it. So I wouldn't be this intuitive person who could now go out and teach it to others if I hadn't walked that path in my life. And, you know, I can't change it. So I might as well find the gold in there, because, you know, there is a loving God in this world. And so I know that I would not have been put in that situation without there being some grace involved in it somewhere. And so that's what I'm doing with it.
God bless you. Me too. You know, my trauma was different. I created mine, a lot of it. And now today I'm turning it into gold, just as you just said. Thank you so much, man. I do appreciate this. This has been awesome.
You're welcome, Dane.
If you have any big news you need to get out, send me an email and we'll get it out there for you.
I'll do that. And if you ever want me to come back and do more,
we will do. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Dane.